Hi, welcome to Summit Church. We are one church in multiple locations in Central Florida. We believe that your story, told truthfully, is good news to those who are near to God and those who are far from God. And no matter where you find yourself, you are welcome here. Join us in listening to this week's sermon.
Hey friend, happy Mother's Day to you. I hope you're having a great day. My name is Anna McGuire and it's a joy to meet you. I come all the way this morning from the Fort Myers, Florida. I am a recent transplant to Florida. I've been a Midwest girl my whole life until about 7 months ago that my family and I relocated here to Florida. I've been married to my husband, Andrew, for almost 9 years. We have a four-year-old son named Archie, and I'm actually due in November with baby number two, which we're so ecstatic and thankful for. That being said, I want to jump right into our message this morning. Floridians, we know probably better than anyone what a real thunderstorm is like. Now, I'm from the Midwest. I was born and raised in Wisconsin, lived many years in Missouri and Indiana. And, you know, I thought I knew what rain was. I thought I knew what a storm was until I stepped foot here for more than a week vacation. And I have learned a new meaning to the word rain. Like rain here could mean like a slight drizzle or a complete monsoon. So I like talking to you all about storms or rain because you guys get it in a different way. Well, one day my husband and I, we had to learn the hard way about Florida storms as we were sitting out on our patio. And what we thought was a beautiful sunset in the horizon, we're like, oh my goodness, look at how gorgeous this is. It's absolutely beautiful. Oh my word, don't you love living in Florida? I mean, we're just having this like moment together thinking, oh, these beautiful clouds are a sunset. No, it ended up being the monsoon that we were absolutely caught in. These massive, beautiful clouds quickly turned into this crazy thunderstorm. You guys know what I'm talking about. Like you're going to the grocery store, there's not a single cloud in the sky. You come out of the grocery store, there is a ton of rain, the sky has opened, and you have to decide if you're gonna sit by the carts for the next 10 minutes or potentially have soggy bread. Like you guys are tracking with me, right? Yes, I know that you are. Well, while I was looking up some pictures of storms, I happened upon this one. Now, if you notice in this picture, you see two different kinds of clouds. In the same photo, it's happening in the same moment. And if you've been to Florida or if you are a Floridian, you've probably seen this sight before, the sunny clouds on one end and the dark sky on the other. And I don't know about you, but as I look at this photo, my eye is drawn to the black. That somehow seems to take precedence over to the light. I begin to see the darkness more than I see the light. And I don't think that's happenstance. Both outcomes are in the same photo, but my attention or our attention draws towards what is bad. I am not a news watcher whatsoever. I'm actually pretty bad at staying up to date with current events. My husband keeps me in the loop. But recently we stayed with my in-laws and they do like to watch the evening news. And every night it was like the same exact thing on the evening news. It would start out with like a feel-good story of maybe like a little girl playing with a llama. And then it would be this huge like back-to-back story of sadness, hardship, famine, wars, and things that we were in Lafayette, Indiana, watching the news. It's the local news station, and they're sharing stories that are bad things happening in Oregon. It wasn't even relevant necessarily to the citizens of Lafayette, Indiana. But it seems that stories of bad are really taking precedence. The focus is what's bad, not what's good, not what's growing or the good things happening in our world. And I don't think the news is doing that because they're running out of ideas. I think it's because it's part of our human nature that our attention is drawn more to what is bad instead of focusing on what is good. It's hard to focus on the good when the bad feels bigger, honestly. I've been there, and I'm actually challenged with that in almost every single season of my life, where my fear becomes my focus instead of what is good. And maybe you're finding yourself in that place today too, that you find that your focus is on what is bad. It's on the dark clouds. It isn't able to enjoy what is good. Well, friends, I want you to know that you are not alone in this experience. Today, we're going to be talking about a group of people called the Israelites. They are the people, God's chosen people that you'll see throughout the entire scripture, Genesis through Revelation, that God is using to bring in Jesus, the Son of God, into the story. And so Israel was God's chosen people. And when we think of Israel, our minds quickly go to Israel, like modern day Israel, this big nation, this big country that has a lot of influence in the world. But that's not where they began. Israel actually began as one family, Abraham and Sarah, and eventually grew into a very large family that was eventually put into slavery by the Egyptians. You might know this story, that for hundreds of years, this large family that eventually turned into a big people group were enslaved, wrongfully enslaved, taken advantage of. And God had made a promise to Israel, as well as their ancestors, that these people would not be vagabonds or just a big family living in different countries and nations, but that they would one day have a land of their own, a place where they themselves could call home. It was a promise. So in the midst of slavery, God started to fulfill that promise and set them free from the Egyptians' slavery, if you want to read about it, go into Exodus. The story is incredible, where God did all these signs and wonders and miracles for the people to be set free from bondage. But that being said, they come out of slavery and they begin to wander in what we call the desert or the wilderness for 40 years. Now, maybe you're watching right now and you're 40 years or younger. Maybe you've got some young ones in your life. That's not even their entire lifespan or your entire lifespan. 40 years they were camping. Now, I liked camping growing up, and I kind of like camping now as an adult, but past 3 or 4 days, like, I'm good. 40 years, this was the Israelites' life, that they would go from one part of the desert to another. They would live in different regions of what they call, in scripture, they refer to it as the wilderness or the desert, for different periods of time over the course of 40 years. They didn't actually have a home, a place that was permanent to them. But God gives them instruction that it is time for them to occupy some land, for them to have a permanent place to call home. So God instructs one of his servants, Moses, to send 12 spies to go look at this land called Canaan. And we're going to be picking up this story in Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 17. When Moses sent them, referring to the 12 spies, to Canaan, he told them, go through the Negev and then into the mountain region. See what the land is like and whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. Is their land that they live in good or bad? Do their cities have walls around them or not? Is their soil rich or poor? Does the land have trees or not? Do your best to bring back some fruit from the land too. So the men explored the land from the desert of Zin to the border of Hamath. The spies did just as Moses said. They went and explored all of the land. And it took them about 40 days. So 40 days later, they returned to Moses. And this is the report that the spies gave to Moses and the people of Israel. Picking up in verse 27 of Numbers chapter 13. We went to the land where you sent us. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. Here are some of its fruit. But the people who live there are strong. And the cities have walls and are very large. We even saw the descendants of Enoch there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the mountain region. And the Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and all along the Jordan River. So here was their report, long story short. The land, it's a dream. It's exactly what we need to establish ourselves. But the people are too strong, too many, and too big. On top of that, they have giant walls that surround their city. So their conclusion was, I guess we need to go find someplace else. But this is what I love about this story. Just one verse later, one spy spoke up. His name was Caleb. And in verse 30, it says, Caleb told the people to be quiet, and he told Moses to listen. And he said, let's go now and take possession of the land. We should be more than able to conquer it. We should be more than able to go after this land and make it our home. While the spies were giving one report, too big, too many, too large, we can't do it, Caleb gave a different report. Why did Caleb have a different plan of action or a different response than his friends? Well, it's simple. His focus was different. For Caleb, and catch this, my friends, for Caleb, the facts were the same. The facts were the same. The people, they were strong. He was not denying that. They were outnumbered, and there were giant walls surrounding the city. But his focus of the situation didn't focus towards the dark clouds. No, he remembered who Israel's deliverer and rescuer was. This gets me excited. You see, the spies that gave the report of focusing on the negative, they were focusing on their own might, their own power, and their own resources. But Caleb's focus was different. His focus was on God's power, God's might, and God's resources. Caleb's focus was different. He knew that Egypt, which was the richest nation in the world at the time, enslaved them for hundreds of years, and God miraculously set them free. And then while they were in the desert, he was like, God brought food from heaven. That's another crazy part of the story, is that God literally made it rain bread and meat for them every single day. And he even brought water out of rocks. Like, they didn't ever go without. So Caleb's focus was different. How could we lose? God is for us and he goes before us. So let's go. Man, don't you think that speech would motivate the people? That would get them excited to move to action? Like, I'm a football girl. I love the Green Bay Packers. And I love college football, thanks to my husband, Andrew. And he is originally from Arkansas. So he is actually a Gus Malzahn fan. So the fact that he's at UCF now makes him pretty happy. But that being said, could you imagine like a speech given by like Gus Malzahn or the head coach of your favorite team that's like mustering up, hey, God goes before us. We can't lose. Don't you think that would inspire some people to belief and action and change their focus? Well, for Israel, it didn't. The people, instead of being like, all right, Caleb, you're right. God goes before us. We don't have to look at the facts. We can just focus on who God is. They began to complain. They began to say, why did God set us free? They were beginning to complain about their freedom. I wish we were slaves again. Did he only bring us this far so that we could die? Man, Numbers 13, as you read that text, your heart breaks as you begin to see their focus. Sure, it was acknowledging the facts, but it wasn't remembering who God was and what he had already done for them. Friends, I know the reality is that We live in a time where there's a lot of difficulty, and bad seems to be normal. There are a lot of expensive life expenses. There's disunity, political divides, unemployment, wars, famines. There is a lot of bad in the world. But that being said, that doesn't have to be our focus. Because if I'm being real with you, it's easy for my focus to lean towards the dark clouds. For when I see the big picture, it's hard for me to see the good when it feels like so much bad is happening in my world. So it'd be easy to judge the spies who gave the negative report, or I guess the factual report, but only focused on the negative. It would be easy to judge the people of Israel, but isn't that so much us? They were focusing on facts. And we, a lot of times, focus on the facts. The facts for Israel is that they were slaves and now vagabonds. They never occupied their own nation. They never had an organized military. They were living in facts, but their focus wasn't right. And isn't that what we oftentimes look at, is the facts? But as followers of Jesus, I believe we are given a gift and a practice, and that is faith, which requires us to change our focus. When we change our focus, our faith can move us to growth and action. So as I mentioned in the beginning, I have an amazing son that I love. His name is Archie, and he is the light and the joy of my life. And 5 years ago, right around this time, I found out I was pregnant with him, which was such a miracle and so timely, because we were in the midst, my husband and I, in the midst of one of the most excruciating and painful seasons of our lives. At that point in time, we were serving in one ministry assignment, and it was abruptly and very painfully coming to an end. And it wasn't that we were only navigating the change of my husband's sudden change of job and employment, but navigating negative voices and slander and a lot of things in our life that just felt crippling and very confusing. And it was hard to hear God's voice in the midst of all of that. So on top of all, that's going on, I find out that I'm pregnant. So exciting, but my husband's job abruptly comes to an end, and he was the carrier of our health insurance. So I have a baby growing inside of me. I was a school counselor, and the way that my district worked is that the enrollment period for our health insurance didn't begin until October, and this was May. And I was so fearful of what was going to happen to us between then and the time my health insurance would kick in. I remember being fearful, trying to calculate how we would pay for not only medical bills between now and that time, but my husband's salary stopped. And we were going to go into church planting, which there was no salary attached to that. And so how are we not only going to pay for these medical bills, but how are we going to put groceries in our house, keep the lights on, keep gas in our cars? I mean, just all of the things began to add up. And in the midst of that, we're losing friendships. And again, we were in a very painful season. And my focus was drawn to the fear and the pain. One night I was in my room and I was literally crying out to God because my heart was so heavy with pain and fear. And I believe in that moment, it was that invitation to change my focus. And I so clearly felt the Holy Spirit prompt on my heart, Anna, I am this baby's shepherd. In me, this baby will lack nothing. I was like, okay, God, I want to believe that. And then I felt the second phrase come to my mind is that, Anna, I love your baby more than you will ever love your baby. Which that was hard to wrap my brain around because I was like this new mom in the making. And I was like, how can you love this baby more than I love my baby, but then I began to think, oh, you're the creator of this baby. This baby belongs to you. Oh my goodness, God, you do love this baby. You're going to take care of this baby, and you're not going to let this baby be put to shame. You're going to make sure every need is taken care of. My focus began to shift. What if Caleb? What if Caleb hadn't had a different focus? What if Caleb hadn't spoken up to draw the focus of everyone else around him from negative to what was possible? I believe not only would have affected Caleb and his immediate family and the Israelites that were there in that moment and alive, but I believe that the entire story of the Old Testament would look completely different had he not spoken up and changed his focus. Because I believe that another generation would have wandered through the wilderness. Another generation would have been vagabonds. And another generation would be missing out on the promise. That Caleb and all the other spies and all the other people's children and grandchildren would not experience all that God had for them. Our focus, my friends, not only affects us and the lives that we live and the promises that we get to experience and the abundance we get to live in, but it also affects the next generation. The next generation will also be affected by it. If Caleb and Israel hadn't taken that step to change the focus, someone else in the generation to come, and this, oh my goodness, I'm like, take out your pen and paper and write this down. Someone else in the next generation to come would have had to fight that battle. Someone else in the next generation would have had to fight to occupy the promised land when Caleb and the other spies and all of Israel were capable of conquering it. When we let our focus default to fear or overwhelm, we not only miss out on our freedom, our peace, our abundance that God has for us, but we also rob the next generation from experiencing it too. We can go ahead of them and fight some of these battles so that they can walk in our footsteps. So today, let me ask you, where's your focus? When you think about when your thoughts wander, or maybe it's when you wake up in the morning or when you lay your head down at night, what are you thinking about? Do you find yourself captivated with fear? Does your focus feel more negative than good or positive? What if today you and I made the intentional decision to change our focus, to change the way we see things? Referencing that picture from the beginning with the clouds, it's not denying that there is darkness and that there is real life happening. It's not that we're like plugging our ears and pretending like there aren't people around us hurting or in need, but that isn't our focus. Our focus is who God is and what it is He is capable of doing when He is the leader and the Lord of our lives. So what if today you and I made some shifts in our focus? And you might be asking, okay, what are some ways that I can change my focus? Well, the big thing that I would say first is daily time in God's Word. The Bible is alive and active. It speaks to us where we are today. And as you open up scripture, I believe that God will highlight things to you that will speak to you, minister to you, encourage you in that moment, or may not seem relevant in that moment, but later in the day or a day or two later, it will come back to memory and it will be encouraging to you then. When you read God's word, you begin to think more like God. You know, if you begin to read a philosopher or a leadership guru, you listen to a lot of their podcasts, you read a lot of their books, you begin to think or talk or teach like that guru. It's nothing different when it comes to God. As you are spending time intentionally in Scripture, in the Word, you begin to think and see things with His lens, and you begin to focus on things that are true and things that are of praise and things that bring Him glory and honor and ultimately that bless you and nourish your life, and you get to live a life of great abundance. So the first thing I'd say is daily time in God's Word. Another thing is community. I love that here at Summit, we have connect groups. Community points us to Jesus. Spiritual community is a priceless gift that God initiated for all of us to have. And why is that? Is because we are better together. That could be something that sounds good on a coffee mug, but it's a reality that God wants us to live out, is that when we're in spiritual community together, we encourage each other and we point each other's focus to God and the things of God. Another thing that can be helpful here to help you with your focus is we have Regroup, which is Summit's recovery ministry that helps with hurts, habits, and hangups that keep us from experiencing God's best. And here'd be my last thing for your focus is take inventory. Are you inviting negativity into your life? Look at the social media you're consuming, the news you're watching, the influences that derail your focus from being on God, His goodness, His ability, and His love. Changing our focus. You know, I mentioned my story with my son in our pregnancy, that invitation to change my focus. That night too, the Lord is this baby shepherd. He will lack nothing. I love this baby more than you do. And then I felt the last thing that the Holy Spirit laid on my heart was don't buy anything for this baby, which I like to shop and it was my first child. So I'm like, don't buy anything. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, don't buy anything. I mean, I'd be running into like Target or Walmart for some groceries and I'd see a cute onesie and I'd go pick it up off the rack and I'd feel that conviction in my heart again. Nope, I told you to buy nothing. So I put it back. And God miraculously brought about more than we could have ever asked or even imagined when it came to provision for taking care of our baby. Cribs, changing tables, clothes, diapers, wipes. I mean, it was such extreme generosity that we were the recipients of. It was such a gift. On top of that, in that gap period of not having health insurance, a nurse noticed me writing a check one day and she said, why are you writing a check out of your pocket? I thought you were a counselor. And I said, well, yeah, I am. But this enrollment period, she said, oh, we have this ministry here that allows for this to be paid in these kind of situations. I'm like, what are you talking about? She gives me the paperwork. In the midst of all that, they wrote a check back to my husband and I for everything that we had paid out of pocket. And on top of that, friends, they ended up taking care of my entire labor and delivery costs. I like could not believe it. It was a miracle. And I believe, and I know, and I'm so even today as I'm expecting baby number two, just that gratitude of God, you helped me to change my focus. Instead of focusing on my abilities, my resources, and what I can do, you drew my attention. You drew my focus onto what it is that you are capable of doing and what it is that you have and how good you are. So what happened to Israel? What happened to Caleb? Well, they ended up taking Caleb's advice and they went and conquered the land. Just as God had promised, they went and occupied it. And now we know that land as modern day Israel. Yes, modern day Israel is the exact plot of land we are talking about right now. And the people got to build their homes. They eventually built a kingdom. You guys, if you read through the Old Testament, I mean, Israel just became this flourishing place. It was a place that was fruitful. The land was fruitful. The people there multiplied significantly. And it was all because one spy decided to speak up and say something different, have a different focus. What if we were all like Caleb? What if we all had a different focus? What would our homes be like? What would our inner peace be like? In what ways would we see the faithfulness of God that we wouldn't see otherwise? Because our focus wouldn't be on Him, His ability, and what He can do. So today, friend, I hope that you're encouraged and even challenged to take inventory, to realign your focus, to really see how good God is, His ability, His love, and what it is that He can do. And I hope that today that it's not just something that we practice today, but it's something that we bring into practice day after day. Because reality, like here, is we're humans. And again, I think the negative can be that default. So tomorrow morning, can you do this again? God, align my focus. The day after that, God, help me to have my focus on You. The day after that, opening up Your word, God, change my focus again today. Friends, I want to pray with you real quick. Jesus, thank You so much for Your goodness and Your grace. I thank You that You are for us and that You love us. I thank You for being so available, that You aren't a far away God, but You are a God that is here and that You see us. I pray for all of my friends who are listening today, Lord, that You would encourage their hearts. For those who are in a really challenging situation, Lord, I pray that You would lift up their heads and You would help them to change their focus today, and that they would know, God, that You are walking with them and that You are the supplier of all of their needs, emotional needs, relational needs, financial needs. God, that You are there. Lord, we lay everything at Your feet and we trust You to be a good God. Lord, it's not about our might, our power, or resources, but it is about You. We trust You and we thank You. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for listening with us today. You can also watch our video services on YouTube or at summitconnect.org. And check out our show notes to link to our website and follow us on social media. Now go in God's grace and peace. We hope you join us next time.